I left my heart.
Remember how mad Mitch was at me when I was playing a song that was semi-slow?
I mean, with no theme.
It yeah. did have a theme.
Tony Bennett left his heart in San Francisco. The Packers are playing the Niners. The San Francisco 49ers. Themed. Like, it's got to be on
Tommy,
theme, bro.
I got to go with Mitch on this one.
I'm falling asleep back here.
Yeah, I know you're falling asleep. This is the Mason Crosby Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Thank you, all-timer Tony Bennett, for singing about the city. I mean, it's one of the cities by the bay, I guess. San Francisco.
It is.
Yep. And joining the show now, the Mason Crosby Show. My name is Mitch Nels, a.k.a. Thunder. From 95.7 The Fan, from Willard and Dibbs every afternoon, he is Mark Willard. Mark, good morning.
Boys, good morning. How are we doing out there?
Well, we're in the middle of a snowstorm because it's November in Wisconsin, so why wouldn't it be snowing today?
Well, does it make you feel better if I tell you that it's pouring rain out here, which is our version of snow?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Yeah. I know the thought is the weather's always perfect out here, but we've got an atmospheric river this week. And in fact, it's going to rain all the way through the weekend, so I think the Niners are happy to get out of town.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I mean, historically, you know, Niners coming into, you know, Lambeau. Honestly, well, unfortunately, last time I played them, sorry, this is Mason Crosby, if you didn't recognize the switch in voices. But, you know, the last time we played, unfortunately, the weather was pretty bad, and, you know, the Niners came in and snuck out a win in the playoffs. So, not always the case that the Niners don't like the weather whenever they come to Green Bay. But, you know, this is early, this regular season. You know, it could be a, you know, could be a tough one for him, but, I got a question for you about this Niners team. Obviously looking at some of the health, some of the pieces that have come back with the McCaffreys, you know, Bosa dealing with his oblique and some of those side stuff, Kittle, you know, saying he's going to play, but, you know, still some uncertainty there. Where do you think the health of the 49ers team is, and, who do you think is going to be available and have an impact in this game?
Yeah, the health is not great, but that's kind of been the situation all year. You can even go kind of bigger picture stuff, which is that this team really, really misses Dre Greenlaw. You know, Fred Warner's partner in crime at linebacker who tore the Achilles, just running on the field in the Super Bowl, that's been a big deal. Brandon Ayuk now has blown up his knee, and he's out for the year. So they've kind of been dealing with this all year. The current state of the guys you asked about, I do think George Kittle is largely fine. He was pretty close to playing last week, so he's going to be in there. I'd be mildly surprised if Nick Bosa plays, but I'd also say I'm a little bit mildly surprised that they're kind of talking about it the way they are already. The way he looked when he walked off the field last Sunday, I'd have bet a lot of money that he wasn't going to play. But I think it's reacted a little bit better than they were hoping. But he's going to be very, very iffy as far as this one is concerned. And obviously McCaffrey is back and a full go. The question there is he himself yet? You know, these last two games have kind of been like his training camp, I guess, if you will. And so maybe he's ready to really pop. He looks fine. He looks okay. He looks kind of like himself. But they've been missing those chunk plays from him. And he states that he's, you know, just still kind of getting the cobwebs out. So he's good to go and ready to go, but is he his normal self that we saw last year? He might not quite be there yet.
Yeah, for me, you know, I said earlier in the week that I think a healthy and an available George Kittle is one of the biggest pieces for this Niners offense. The stuff that he does in run blocking and just the nuances of what the offense is under Shanahan, he's always been disruptive when playing the Packers, especially, but just such an exceptional, you know, downfield receiver, possession guy. He does it all. So for me, I feel like having George Kittle in that lineup is one of the most important pieces, you know, for this team's success.
Yeah, you're spot on. And I don't know how many people around, you know, the fantasy footballification of the world has sort of made it where for the last 7 or 8 years, we've just all decided Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the game. He's definitely been the best receiving tight end in the game, but the best all-around tight end in the game is no doubt George Kittle, and you guys are spot on. He does it in the run game. He does it in the pass game. He looks really good in the pass game this year. He's having a great year. He's dealt with a nagging hamstring. It's the only thing holding him back. And Brock Purdy this year has really leaned on him even more, especially in the absence of McCaffrey, the absence of Brandon Ayuk. They've had to sort of scale back their passing game, keep it a little bit low, you know, closer to the line of scrimmage, and that's meant a lot of George Kittle. So I'd expect him to have a really big role in this game.
Yeah, so whenever, obviously, they're Niners at 5-5, still kind of, you know, looked at as one of the, you know, one of the top teams, one of the better teams in the NFC, you know, at least. And kind of from your opinion, you know, looking at the Packers and what this rivalry has been and that matchup, you know, what's kind of your take on what, you know, what each team might need to do, you know, to come out on top in this one?
Well, I mean, real quick, without getting too deep into X's and O's, what you guys are dealing with this week is an absolutely desperate 49er football team. They have run the gamut. I mean, they've got three division losses, and all of them are miraculous losses. Like, they had no business losing any of these games. And so their analytics and their DVOA and all of that smart stuff tell you that the Niners should be at least 7-3, 8-2, and that they are one of the top. There's eight teams that are kind of in that quadrant in the high right on DVOA that are like good on offense and good on defense. And the Packers and 49ers are both in that group. So they have the capability, but they have just been undisciplined, shoot themselves in the foot constantly, and all of that. So what we're sort of dealing with is an identity crisis. You guys might have some fun with this. The Packers are favored in this game. This is the first time in 30 games that the 49ers have been an underdog. 30 football games. The last time they were an underdog was when they went to Philadelphia in the NFC title game two seasons ago. And, of course, their quarterback got hurt on, like, the fifth play of the game, and that was a wrap. They've been favored in every game since. So people are really trying to figure out what to do with this team because the talent is there. And even the production sort of through three quarters is there. And then the fourth quarter falls apart. So they've got to deal with their emotions and their sense of self. And then, you know, the Packers, man, I look, I really like your team. You know, I love Jordan Love. I think you guys are a really well-balanced group, and I would say, especially if Nick Bosa is out, defensively, you've got a group that you can attack, provided that Jordan Love avoids those mistakes that he is prone to make, and the Niners love to rush with just four, but that's because Bosa's there. If Bosa's not there, you're probably going to see a lot more trickery, blitzes. Love will have to be ready for that.
No, I totally agree. That's a great insight and a great take on kind of what these teams are, and especially what the Packers, if they can keep Jordan Love clean, keep his vision clean, you know, in that pocket. He looks like his health has gotten a lot better, so he's able to kind of have that bounce. He likes to stand tall in there, bounce around, and you know, find his targets. Going on to that quarterback talk, not necessarily maybe a compare contrast between Purdy and Love, but just kind of what do you like about both the quarterbacks? As far as how is 49ers Nation feeling about Brock Purdy today versus what they maybe have in the past, and kind of what you see their vision for him is moving forward? I'm assuming there's a vision to try to get him a contract and get him paid there in Niners Nation.
No doubt there is, but there's also a lot of talk about it because there's no getting around the fact that this year he has not quite been as good as last year and even the year before when he was a rookie. He's been good, but it's not been great. There's a lot of reasons for it, a lot of things going on around him, a lot of injuries. But I also think when I look at Brock, what I see right now is someone who's almost potentially lacking a little confidence in his offensive line. Because he's not only taking the shorter route when at times something downfield is open, He's also running a lot more this year. He's very good at it. He's sneaky, elusive. But there are times where he's leaving a clean pocket. And he may make a good play out of that, but that's obviously not the ideal on what you want to do. So, plus, Brock is coming off of such a tiny NFL-speaking contract. I don't know if he's going to go out there and demand and command top-of-the-market Dak Prescott contract dollars. His agent could go in there and say he's better than Dak, so, like, why shouldn't he make more? At the same time, that really could cause a domino effect with the 49ers roster. I don't know if Brock is motivated to do that. So we'll see, and that's a conversation for the offseason. It's funny you bring up, you know, this particular matchup. I've always looked at the NFC right now, and I've thought, boy, if I could take two quarterbacks and have them make a baby, it'd be these two in this game.
Wow.
Like, if I could take Purdy's processing of information on the field and decision-making and blend it with the physical skills that Jordan Love has, I think you'd have the best quarterback in the NFC. And both of them sort of represent what the other one kind of needs to work on. I don't know if Brock can work on having a stronger arm and being taller, but, like, that's what you'd love to see out of him. And you'd love to see Jordan, who leans aggressive, to sometimes, right, put a little bit of a cap on what he does and lessen the interceptions. But both of them are high-level guys, there's no doubt.
You're listening to Mark Willard from 95.7 The Game in San Francisco here on the Mason Crosby Show. Who wants to see a love child between Brock Purdy and Jordan Love? Cannot wait for that science to come into... Oh, my gosh. I'm here for that, Mark.
Interesting picture that you painted.
You can name him Brock Love, which sounds kind of like a...
That is a good quarterback name.
Sounds like a love child, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to segue a little bit because, a couple weeks back, and we actually didn't touch on it. I've been meaning to on the show, obviously, with my background kicking in the NFL. A few weeks ago with Debo Samuel and, Peppers there, Tabor Pepper, the long snapper after, Moody had missed a few field goals. There was a little altercation on the sideline. Do you think there is any, residual from that, just as far as how this team is, kind of the chemistry and how they're looking at each other? Whenever a player goes at another player and is like, get your job done, do this, and there's like a heated thing on the sideline, how do you think that affected the team? And do you think there is, there's any residual in that? And, some of the, the loss coming last week and some of that, do you think any of that is kind of lingering there in the locker room?
I really don't, but I mean, you could probably speak to this even better than I, but you know that there's two dynamics at play here. And one of them is, look, football is super emotional, and guys are going to get into conversations and frustrating moments on the sideline. That's going to happen. And I think teams, at least, good locker rooms, and this is a good locker room, they're able to squash that. There's no getting around that the 49ers had a group. This is as frustrated as they've ever been since they got good. So that's a 5-6 year window. I don't know that they've ever felt as frustrated as they do now. Maybe, moments after Patrick Mahomes threw the ball into the end zone in overtime in February, maybe that would match it. But this group is really searching for answers and frustrated with their reality. And I think that what you saw was just a byproduct of that. But there's also no getting around. It's not a good look. And certainly when it's a player that's big and physical like Debo Samuel going after the special teams unit, which, Mason, is not always viewed as a full member of the group in that sort of football fraternity, because you guys have a different job, different skill set, different way of going about your business and practice and all of those things. So I do think they're over it. There's no doubt that it's not a great moment, but they've been dealing with a lot of just frustration bubbling over all year. You tell me, did you ever have anything like that happen when you missed a couple?
No, I was very fortunate there in Green Bay. I always had a great support system, and I always chose once a week. I'd always pick somebody to like get in a physical altercation with, just so that I showed that I was a
Alpha,
real football
baby.
Player.
You're the Sigma.
I'm just kidding. But I do think occasionally, when like, especially in my time, you know, I was able to stick my nose in there, make some tackles and do some things. You know, you just try to prove to yourself and to the team all the time that you're there, you're available, you're part of that, not being on the fringes. Like, I made myself seen at practice, different things. Some of those pieces definitely help. Obviously, I had an offensive lineman on the other day, and you know, he never saw me work out, which was a little disappointing because I felt like I was next to him quite a bit, running and doing different things, especially in the off season. But again, I guess I was just invisible, the invisible man. But yeah, I do think some of that stuff can boil over. And to Moody's credit, you know, it's tough. It's tough when you start missing. But the fact that he came back and he hit the game winner, you know, it can't all be perfect. You know, receivers drop passes. But if they catch that touchdown pass when the time's critical, we're all excited. So I think a team, you know, has to come together, understand everyone's role, and move on from that. You know, I'm never upset about, you know, tensions boiling on a team. I think sometimes altercations and you know, back and forth can actually be, you know, therapeutic and helpful, and kind of show that everyone cares and wants to see it done well.
I will say this, and this was, I thought, the most interesting thing that came out of it. 2 days later, when Kyle Shanahan had a chance to meet with the media, his response was Tabor Pepper overreacted. And Tabor Pepper is the long snapper who I think was defending Jake Moody. I think the way it went down is Debo just, he kind of got in his face and went, "You need to lock in." And I'm sure there were some words in there that we can't share now. Like, I'm sure it was very intense. And Pepper took exception to it and got in Debo's face. And then Debo shoved him in the head. And now we've got this big incident. And Kyle's take on it was, sure, did Debo maybe get a little too intense? Okay, but that happens. But he was trying to lock Jake Moody in, and there was frustration there. And Tabor overreacted. Interesting take, but that was, you know, that's the leader of the 49ers, and that's kind of what his takeaway was.
Yeah, for sure. Once you allow emotion and, like, you know, somebody, you know, saying something and doing that affect you, that's never a good space to be in. You know, we all get heated in the moment, and we all know that, like, what our job is. And yeah, to kind of have those emotions boil over is not ideal. And you know, we definitely, like, you know, Moody needs to, you know, take on his own battles. You know, it's not for somebody else to do. So, but anyways, Mark, I really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for jumping on and talking all things Niners versus Packers, which I view as a really great rivalry right now in the NFL. These two teams have battled it out for the last few years, and always a fun one to watch. So really appreciate it, Mark, and looking forward to this game this weekend.
No doubt. Me too. Thanks for having me on. And word on the street is that we get to have you come on my show later this afternoon. And so we're looking forward to it, man.
That's right. Little plug. Yep, I'll be on, I think, a little bit after the 7 o'clock Central Time hour. So, you know, y'all are a little behind us there, you know, in San Fran. But, yeah, it'll be great to jump on and, you know, talk from the other side.
Looking forward to it, man.
All right, that's all right, Mark Willard, 95.7 The Game. Thanks so much for jumping on and you know, updating us on the injury and the desperation that San Francisco's feeling. Well, if they're feeling desperation, it'll be interesting to see what some of the numbers are for Brock Purdy, for Christian McCaffrey, for some of the defense when it comes to more or less and what they can do on the field on Sunday.